With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Mitro breaks the record, and who knows, maybe Ronaldo will break it again next season. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, 3rd of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. Mm. Pushing those buttons, aren't you, Luke Moore?
You're pushing the buttons, and you have unsuccessfully tried to do an operatic version of some kind of Mitrovic chant.
Patreon special.
Which you had to abandon. Maybe you could do it for a Patreon special, but you had to abandon it. So we had to just rescue it and
Mason sings
make
opera.
More traditional.
Mason
with sings the CD opera. Everyone wanted from the
with the
service
with the
station.
Names of footballers replacing common or garden themes. Such as, I don't know, I can't think of any opera songs now.
I thought your voice would be more powerful than it is.
Mm.
Difficult.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's one of those things.
Oh, it's a shame. Well, with great power comes great responsibility, as you know, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't want to crack it all out too early on in the show. Do you enjoy Manchester United beating Brentford? at home in their last game of the season. Their last home game of the season. 3-0 it was.
Nay bother.
Forget the 73rd minute walkout. You're all just having too much fun.
Love the Glazers. Imagine off the back of that game, all the Man United fans just went back.
Yeah, it's fine.
Do you know what? We'll call it quits there.
On reflection.
Yeah, that's a draw. Fair enough.
They should sign those young lads Matter and Matic up, didn't they? They played well.
Oh, yeah, it could go the other way. They could issue new contracts out to players such as that. But, I mean...
On that showing, I wouldn't mind Matter. What did Mourinho do over two spells at different clubs to Matter? I feel so sorry for him. I loved him. I would have loved him at Newcastle.
Like when Matter's version of the Candyman, isn't he, Jose Mourinho? When Matter says Mourinho's name too many times into the mirror and Mourinho turns up at his club and ruins him.
He looked great as a 10 yesterday.
I think you've got a point, Pete. I did feel some sort of like semi-novelty, but also quite like affectionate vibes.
He's a very likeable man.
Yeah. And he had the assist for the disallowed offside Ronaldo goal, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And he was linking up all right with Bruno Fernandes, I thought.
Yeah, and Ronaldo could have had three in that match. I thought he had some decent chances. That one he took down on the chest and then whiffed it. I was like, I should have put that away.
Yeah.
Should at least got on target anyway.
So I think what we've established is that against a semi-interested season finish Brentford side with exactly the 40 points they came
to play for, yeah.
It's actually not that bad playing for Man United.
Oh, is that fair, listeners? Is that fair, ladies and gentlemen? Is that a fair representation of what we saw from Manchester United last night? I thought they were quite zippy.
They're easily good
enough. Quite enjoyable to watch.
Well, they're easily good enough against a lot of teams in the Premier League, aren't they?
Because
they're
United.
Yeah, because the resources they've got.
Let's not forget, Brentford absolutely battered Arsenal for one.
Did they? What, on the first day of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat them at home the first day of the season 1-0, didn't they?
2-0.
Was it 2-0? I can't remember.
Maybe 3-0.
I don't remember.
They had a very good start of the season, but it fell off and then they sort of recovered.
I just checked. It was 2-0. Fair enough.
Absolutely batter them.
But, you know, obviously the time in the season they're playing them, the situation at Brentford, you know, et cetera, that doesn't mean you take anything away from Man United's win. I mean, a 3-0 win is a 3-0 win, right?
Correct.
That's a good thing. That's what they wanted. The problems Man United have been talked about over and over again. I saw something online a few weeks ago from Roy Keane saying that it's difficult to know what to say when Man United play because the problems are so obvious. Everyone talks about them over and over again and you can't think of anything new to say.
Yeah, but at least they won.
But last night,
he looked like he was struggling to think of new things to say because he was a bit overwhelmed by the idea of passing a bit of credit on to old Manchester United for winning a game. Your punditry bay.
I love Roy. Yeah. Is there no love for Roy more broadly among the Ramble guys?
Oh, I think, yeah, broadly speaking, everyone loves Roy.
Do you like him, Pete?
Yeah, I think he became a character and now he is comfortable with the character, but I think he's working a little bit harder now. He needs to, I think.
And I think the fact of him being linked with these jobs and the idea that he's got agents scrabbling around trying to get him the Hibs role, that really has made me warm even further to him because I like the idea that he's like striving in the background and he wants to achieve things separately.
I think Roy Keane's a perfect distillation of what you want out of watching football because I know that Brassel doesn't really like him because Brassel, we don't learn anything new from him and that's what Brassel's all about.
I saw that as well.
Okay, so that's why
me
I wonder...
Me and Brassel, we're very similar levels of football insight. I'm sure everyone's realised.
I wondered whether you would like him for that reason, but I like him because I just want to be entertained, basically.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
He's very good for that. But I mean, he was very interesting last night, Roy, on... Cristiano Ronaldo, I thought.
Well, yeah, speaking of entertainment, I thought Ronaldo was very much his, like, angsty, aggro, like, being mean to Chris Kavanagh and bullying people around. I say it sounds negative, but I mean it in a positive way. You know, you talk about grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck and all that sort of stuff, but the sense that he absolutely, definitely would score some kind of a goal after the offside one coming up to halftime. And that, fucking hell... You know, don't want to stick the boot into Brentford too much, but Rico Henry...
That was terrible.
...was an absolute prat.
It was ridiculous.
That was embarrassing. So basically, he got if you guys haven't seen it, he got muscled off the ball by Ronaldo. He just basically shoved him out of the way, and his pride was hurt.
He was like, this man is old. I will not have this.
Wasn't it? It was just... And you could just see it coming a mile off, and Ronaldo... wiggled himself into the box. It was just like, come and get me! And he fucking did, and won a penalty.
Yeah.
The thing with Ronaldo, he's he got signed as a goal muncher, and he is kind of, and probably about 2 months ago, you'd sort of go, it was not necessarily the most successful season for him, but obviously he's picked up a few decent goals against weaker opposition, it has to be said, and the man does not fit into any modern system. So it's a bloody good job that Manchester United
don't have one.
Don't have one.
It's actually genius.
And don't look like they're going to find one anytime soon. So he will be the plan. He's an excellent plan B next season. But let's just hope Manchester United are in a better position that they don't need him.
And you're talking about that period he had around the new year where he didn't score for a wee while. And then he came back in. To be fair, he scored a hat-trick against Spurs, didn't he?
All right,
and then a hat-trick against Norwich, so point taken.
And the list of the goals scored by United over the last, is like 14 goals scored by United. It's just pretty much Ronaldo and one last night from Varane and whoever else scored.
He's an astonishing amount of their
Bruno
goals
Fernandez.
He's taken care of. And to go back to that, that's interesting because you talk about him, you know, if he is going to be available next year and he's going to beat United and what's that going to look like? I find that a really fascinating conversation. A, because when people talk about it and the way they frame it, they talk about it like it's just entirely Ronaldo's decision, right?
Yeah,
and that for a club the size of Manchester United, should be insulting. It should be totally insulting. The first answer to whether Ronaldo is going to be at Man United next season or not should be, well, it depends whether Eric Ten Hag wants him or not. Because if Eric Ten Hag meets him and decides he can work with him, then he should have the authority to say whether he stays there or not.
But watching that match yesterday, it was just kind of like Ten Hag's got to come to that club and go, right, I need to know what players I've got and which players they are best suited for in each position. They play players who should be playing in the middle out on the wing, players like Mata, and they play players who should be playing on the wing in the middle, Bruno. And so it's kind of like, it's like, just decide on a system and then play the players or acquire the players exactly for that system.
What,
not just opportunity purchases here and there.
But again, that speaks exactly to what the whole problem is, right? You're absolutely spot on. Because they, under Ralph Rangnick, they tried his, you know, because look, and they can rewrite history all they like, but a lot of Man United fans were saying, oh, when Ralph Rangnick comes in, he'll sort them out tactically, right? He's brilliant tactically. Don't worry that he hasn't managed a big club at all, really, and he's not managed much for the last 10 years or whatever. He's tactically brilliant. And how long did Ralph Rangnick's tactical revolution at Man United last? It lasted about a game.
Well, because he knew he wasn't getting the backing,
because
he couldn't do it.
So all that stuff's really important, definitely. And then the second point I was going to make about Ronaldo, which I think does play into this as well, is the idea that, of course, there's a great precedent for aging, really experienced, talented players to make a real contribution to a big club late in their careers. And a classic example would be, in Man United's case, would be someone like Laurent Blanc, who comes in. He doesn't play that much, but when he's needed, he's good and he's solid, but he's amazing for the young players around the club. Now, the problem is, of course, you've got rocks in your head if you think Cristiano Ronaldo is going to accept that as a role next season, because he's going to say, well, one, I want to be playing in the Champions League because I want to carry on scoring goals in the Champions League.
And I was your record scorer last season.
And I've scored 18 league goals for the 37-year-old. So it's a conundrum for them to solve and for them to get out of this. And a lot of chat, wasn't there, about how long it would take Man United to turn this around and get up to be competing again. But in a way, that's a moot argument, because actually you can't make even the first step forward towards doing that if you don't make back the manager to make some really, really controversial, hard decisions when he comes in, because he needs to.
Didn't you think it was interesting the way it had a sort of end of term vibes with all of these, like, greatest hit? They're playing a few of the greatest hits with Mata in, with Matic.
Yeah.
Phil Jones gets on for a little cameo. Like, it was just, it did feel maybe a bit like an end of an era sort of game.
It's like people had gone to see.
Carragher called it a testimonial.
Yeah, Smokey Robinson do a greatest hit set or something. He's going to bring some special guests out.
Yeah, you don't want...
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Jones! Hey!
You don't want Van Morrison playing his new stuff, do you?
No, you don't.
You want Brown Eyed Girl.
Not stuff about masks and stuff.
The problem is, you don't technically want Cristiano Ronaldo doing his new stuff, but it's all you've got. And it seems to be accompanied by a lot of goals that they otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah. So Jesse Lingard's brother was incredibly forthright on Instagram.
I like this a lot.
He was saying that there's no respect given to Lingard. He has been at the club since he was 6 or 7 or something.
I think it was
like
9, isn't it?
9, okay.
Yeah, that is sad.
6 or 7 or 9.
So he said, Jesse Lingard's brother on Instagram said, 20 years of blood, sweat and tears, 4 domestic trophies, 3 cup final goals, not even a farewell. No wonder it's the Europa Conference League next year.
Strong, isn't it?
Zing.
Zing, zing, zing.
I love
zing.
It. I love that a cameo character such as Jesse Lingard's brother can bring the whole edifice crashing down.
It's been a tale of two brothers this season, hasn't it? Harry Kane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Would you when you look back on this, Kate, would you say this has been the Charlie Kane year?
I think not in the end.
Who is now the premier football agent in football?
Charlie, well, quite.
I think
Charlie
gets help, does he not?
He needs help.
Yeah.
Not Charlie like Kane, that, Charlie for the
Kane,
record.
Charlie Kane had a hot girl summer, and I think we were all here for it. Weren't we?
Yeah, Wayne in particular was here for it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know about people's brothers kicking off about stuff. Like, it's funny for us, isn't it?
But going back,
it must be quite annoying if you're Jesse Lingard.
Going back to the Ronaldo thing, though. Roy Keane came closest I've seen him come to criticise Ronaldo, saying he needs to stop sulking, he needs to stop.
That's all part of it.
Yeah.
That's part of it, isn't it? That's how he sort of imposes himself a little in addition to all of his other abilities. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's also the scrappiness that keeps him firing at 37 in a way that some people might say Lionel Messi, to pluck a name out of a hat, isn't. Although, did you see that amazing goal? Mm. What was it last week? Patrick Vieira, speaking of Roy Keane, he discussed how recently he went out for ice cream with him. And he said...
Very weird.
I don't know how this came up particularly. Possibly he's in a selling a new chain of ice cream. Who knows?
We will only eat foods that has a scream in it. We are very furious men.
He said, we were walking back to the hotel and went to an ice cream shop. Some fans saw and couldn't believe it was Roy and myself walking around eating ice cream together. Ready? He was the one who paid. The better player never paid.
Oh,
come on.
Roy Keane's fuming. I thought we had ice cream together, Patrick. I thought we were friends again now.
Friends. Yeah. And I did get that headache for a bit, and then you stole my wallet.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so fraught, isn't it? Just a lovely snack of ice cream. Fish food, I would have gone for, but I don't know if that was the sort of shop. Was it gelateria? We don't know. Mm. No one told us.
Sorbet, anyone?
Nah, never go
for
the sorbet.
Nah. Are you on a diet?
No, it's delicious. Lemon sorbet. Come on.
You're telling me if you were in an ice cream shop and they had a bit of I don't know,
sorbet every time,
monkey,
unless there
was
a licorice flavour or something like that, or Earl Grey tea,
not
like
chocolate.
An Earl Grey tea flavour.
Chocolate. You're not fussed. You know what sorbet is, Luke? Of course, it's just bloody water and
Pete's
food colouring.
Top three ice creams are licorice, Earl Grey tea, and lemon sorbet. You're an absolute danger. You're a danger. You're not going to go out with Patrick and Roy at that rate. They'll be kicking you across.
They're vanilla all over with some of that 80s chocolate sauce you used to put on.
He's ordering a sorbet, Gary. I can't believe he's ordering a sorbet, Gary.
You've got it in a bowl. You've got it in a bowl. What's wrong with a really cheap little cone?
Would you have sorbet in a cone? You don't, do you? You don't even get a cone.
It's crap.
Don't see
it's absolutely crap.
Shout.
I can't believe Pete also has been passing himself off as not posh this entire time. And those are his three favourite ice creams.
I don't think I pass myself off as not posh. My body and the things I do. My teeth do all the heavy lifting.
His entire life. Yeah. It's been testament to it.
It's very method.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Posh people don't cry in the street. We've established that.
Jose Mourinho, there's no real... I mean, former United boss here. Yeah, fine. Jose Mourinho, he's been being very downbeat. No, what's the word I'm looking for? He's been playing under the radar, yeah? Mm. He's in Italy, of course. His Roma drew 0-0 with Bologna on Sunday and as a result missed out on Champions League. So as a result, he moaned about Lazio's stoppage time offside winner in their 4-3 over Spezia in the post-match. Digression. Here we go. As a result of that, Lazio then released the following statement. Very clever, this. They didn't mention his name at all. But I'll let you decide if it was all about him. Lazio is obsessively in their thoughts more than other coveted professional goals. That, as so often happens, one looks into other people's homes to divert attention from missed results and sensational episodes that have occurred in one's own home. The Lazio Sports Society rejects the criticisms and insinuations to send us. I guess this is a translation, right? So it continues to believe that values are demonstrated on the pitch and not in the television salon.
Who translated this? Sartre?
Pete, would you like to talk to us about the most sensational episode that happened in your house at home over the weekend?
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, it's talking about sensational episodes that have occurred in people's homes.
Oh, okay.
We've obviously heard in the past that, you know, one of your dogs pissed on the other dog's head.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Kinky.
What kind of sensational episodes have you been up to, apart from eating licorice ice cream and lemon sorbet?
I've got one.
Okay.
I've got a kettle that has variable temperature control.
Wow.
Wow, that is sensational.
Is sensational.
Yeah.
So how hot can it go? 150 degrees.
goes up to 100, but you can set it at like 95, 90. So if you did want
so you
your
don't
green
burn
tea,
your coffee bean,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly. If you want your green tea, you want a hot water bottle.
Right.
Don't have to wait. You just pop it on at 85 or whatever. Pour it straight into the oil.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Sensational.
My dad bought me a Diamante steering wheel cover for my Fiat 500. That was my birthday present. And like, you get to an age and you're like, you don't really want birthday presents of your parents, but I don't want that.
I'll have it.
You can have it. Yeah, you can have my Diamante.
The reason I'm laughing so hard is because I wonder if it's a coincidence that for the first time at age you got the train in today.
I don't want to be seen outside with that. Yeah.
Out of interest, what's a steering wheel cover for? Like, why do you need one?
I don't know. I think it's just
apart
to
from
increase
to have a
the
bit grip. More Diamante.
Yeah, it's a bit of passag. My dad thinks I can't drive, kind of. Nonsense. Two hands on the wheel, he keeps reminding me. It's like, Dad, you never had a driving licence.
Has he not?
No.
He's got no room to...
He got behind the wheel of a... what do you call them? Like, well, those things in a factory with a...
Forklift.
Yeah. And he totaled a load of lockers one time. He wasn't allowed on it again.
Those who know me will know that I've been Team Stewie Donaldson for a very long time. But I don't think he can be criticised on other people's driving. He was never passed his test.
Yeah, exactly.
That's outrageous.
I thought forklift trucks didn't have a normal steering wheel.
If they steer from the back, it's much more difficult to steer them.
Yeah. Elsewhere last night, this is really the story. This is the talk of the town. This is the story of the show. Fulham win the championship. All right. 7-0 against Luton Town in the end. They were kind of taking pot shots by, I don't know, the third or fourth goal. Yeah. And I felt, okay, before we get on to to Fulham, who obviously did incredibly, and Mitrovic broke the bloody scoring record of Guy Whittingham with 43 goals. Yeah. I did feel a tiny bit sorry for old Matty Ingram, who was brought in on an emergency loan. They've been through six keepers, Luton Town, this season, because they just constantly keep... Jed Steer got injured. Every single person's got injured. And he just, by the end, he was just sort of standing in the middle as they shot at him from from the halfway line. And frankly, in the case of Jean-Michel Sarri, they just went in. So, you know.
It was a very strange situation. Obviously, we should, first of all, extend our congratulations to Fulham. And for doing what Fulham do again. Someone was telling me over the weekend that, is it been 5 years now since Fulham and Norwich played each other because they keep swapping over? It's like a really weird thing think of. Yeah, I can't remember exactly how many, 5 or 6 years. So congratulations to Fulham. They won it, and obviously in some style. And they owed it to their fans after that big letdown against Forest when...
Which I went to. Yeah, I was so excited about this. I was excited about getting on the pitch at Craven Cottage as well, because you know how Marcus, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't defile his beloved Craven Cottage by getting on the pitch. And they were beaten by Nottingham Forest, who, by the way, play tonight. And based on what I saw from them at that game, you know, I really can see them getting up into the Premier League on first time of asking, like without even having to go to the playoff places.
Oh,
they did so well.
We'll come on to
anyway. Again,
in a bit.
Poor old Fulham, they're getting passed over a little bit here.
Yeah, no, but the thing I found fascinating about the game last night was that you look at this time of the year, and say you don't follow the Championship very closely, you'd be forgiven for going, okay, well, they're playing Luton at home. Oh, hang on a minute.
Luton are sixth.
Yeah, Luton are trying to start getting to the playoffs this season.
We've talked about Luton a fair bit.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
In recent weeks. Yeah. And they've been doing incredibly well.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, it just kind of fell apart, didn't it?
When Fulham are on song, it's very hard to deal with them. And that record from Mitrovic is an incredible achievement.
I never thought that would get broken.
Me neither. At the start of the season, people were talking, or like, you know, earlier when his scoring rate was so incredible, people started talking about it, you know, a few weeks in. I just thought, this is a joke. And if you think about it, he's missed two games this season, Mitrovic. So it's literally a goal a game. His record.
I very much enjoyed Guy Whittingham's only tweet recently, which was about the crisps and sweets someone left behind in the commentary position for BBC Radio Solent at Sheffield Wednesday. So he's not really sort of... He wished everyone a Eid Mubarak, but that's about it, really.
He has talked about Mitro overtaking him, and he has said he's very impressed and he's happy about it. He's your boy, though, isn't he?
He's a legend. Whittingham's a legend. Portsmouth bought him, I think, for like 300 quid from the army.
Yeovil, wasn't it?
It's from the army, I think.
What?
I thought they got it from the army.
I thought they got it from the Yeovil.
How do you buy someone from the army?
Yeah. Buy a salami for your boy in the army.
He was definitely in the army.
Right.
Because his nickname was the corporal at Portsmouth.
Right.
And maybe he ran out of contract at Yeovil or something.
So you imagine something out of the 19th century where you've got to get your commissioning papers paid off or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it was the 20th century.
It was Portsmouth as well.
But he was amazing. I mean, that season where he scored 42 in the league, he scored 48 in all competitions. So Mitrovic won't break that.
Proper fox in the box.
Yeah. He hasn't scored a goal outside of the league, Mitro, from what I saw.
No, he hasn't. Mm. He's got loads for Serbia, though. So I think he scored 51 goals in total across club and country.
Nuts.
But it doesn't count, I'm afraid.
I was under.
But no, I, and I'm with Pete. I didn't think it would be beaten. I think it's very, very difficult that championship season and the intensity that the play the teams play at, you know, in that division in modern times is very, very tough. Obviously, he has to stay fit the whole time. It's an incredible achievement. And you know, people are using it as a stick to beat him with last night. I saw saying, that'll translate to three goals in the Premier League.
Because the most he scored in the Premier League is 11.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe it fucking will, but that's not the point at the moment. The point is it's an amazing achievement.
And for a modern striker, 11's pretty good for the Premier League.
Yeah, didn't keep him in the Premier League, did it? That's the issue. That's the thing they've got to sort out. But they've got a different manager now, so you know.
How old is he now? 27, 28?
Like, 27.
I mean, that is... he's coming into his peak here. If he's ever going to do it, he's going to do it next season. And I think I'd love to see Mitrovic hit the ground running when he gets in the Premier League next season. Apparently, he was going around just hitting people in the dressing room because he doesn't know his own strength, which is wonderful.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Proper one-off
plays matches with Tommy Al as well. They're like Man Mountain and the little teenager, however old he is these days. I like the idea of Lukey Moore, aged however old he would have been,
when
old Whittingham was tearing it up, thinking, like, this is the stuff, this is what it's always going to be like.
Yeah, I mean, that was thumped out of me quite early on. Yeah,
Do you think it's not them winning so consistently and so heavily every week? Is this indicative of a wider issue in the championship? Is this kind of like
no.
I don't want to sort of do Fulham down, but good God, I mean they just steamrolled everyone this season, didn't they?
I was going to make another point about Pompey.
Okay,
no, ignore that.
That seems more relevant.
Guy, if you're thinking about someone who's got a reason to be annoyed about the 1992-93 season for Portsmouth, Guy Whittingham scored 42 league goals.
Didn't go up, did you?
And Portsmouth missed out getting promoted on goal difference.
Jesus Christ.
I feel like he can feel like he's done his bit.
Soundtrack by Pulse
right.
Countdown.
Oh, poor old Wits.
Do you know who they lost out to? West Ham.
West Ham. Nice.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to them?
Exactly. What have they ever done?
Mm.
But anyway, congratulations to Fulham. That's the whole point. I'm not trying to derail it, but congratulations to Fulham, you know.
Fulham sporting director Tony Khan said, "I don't want us to be seen as a yo-yo club from now on. I just want us to be a yo club." Yo,
I saw Tony Khan on stage in Dallas because obviously he owns the wrestling company AEW, and he came out on stage. I've never seen a man with worse microphone technique.
It's like, I'm going to go around there and we just brought some more joint.
And it's just like, have you seen a microphone before?
Basic media.
Why are you dressed
please?
Like a bouncer?
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like Alex Zane, I always think.
He does look a bit like Alex Zane, and he's also living his best life, isn't he?
He is.
My dad's really, really wealthy. What would I like to do? Be the sporting director of a football team, have my own wrestling franchise. I think I'll just do that.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't know about. I mean, it looks as though they are trying to set Fulham up to see if they can succeed in the Premier League next season. Anybody's guess, isn't it?
It is.
Anybody's guess. It's a difficult old league, as we know. All right, guys, let's take a break and then we'll come back. A bit of Bury FC.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms.
So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Major problems with it. For me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
What a season it's been.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Pete and Luke with you today. And yeah, we're with Graeme Souness on that one, I think. Cat lovers all.
It's not the most controversial point, is it?
No.
No, but it's just the way he put it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Like as though the cat had fouled the man.
Graeme's a good egg. Graeme is a good egg.
Yeah, right. Time for some emails, guys.
Adam, Witches of Eastick, my team, Scarborough Athletic, formerly known as Scarborough FC, have been promoted to the National League North, where we previously were liquidated due to bad financial management from former dodgy owners. I think that's fine. We formed a Phoenix team in 2007, and we are now back to where we were liquidated. Our manager, none other than Champions League winner Jonathan Greening, endured a tough start of the season where lots of our own fans questioned if he was cut out for it. Ridiculous after 10 games of being in management for the first time. However, after navigating a tricky start to the season, we lost only one game since January, and today we're promoted to the Conference North in the playoff final.
Come on.
I would like to congratulate all the volunteers who run the club, the fans for donating and supporting our club, and more importantly, squad and management who have given us fans this spectacular moment. It's great to see, because obviously Greening's from Scarborough, even though he looks like the most Italian man ever.
Yeah.
You know him, don't you, Luke?
I do.
You've hung out with him before?
I have worked with him before. He's been he's a Ramble Meets alumnus as well. Very, very nice man. Great guy. I wish him all the very, very best, because he is such a lovely chap. We went for lunch, he and I accidentally took him to a vegan cafe, which
his ticket.
I hope Jonathan won't mind me saying it's not really his scene. But he manfully struggled through a vegan pizza. And
that's going to be without cheese.
Said it was fine.
Took a pepperoni out of his pocket and started tearing it up on the top. Yeah.
I wish him all the best. Great guy. And if you want to listen to that Ramble Meets episode, I'm sure it's still available. Yeah, he told a great story on it about how the way he, our emailer there mentioned that he's won the Champions League because he was on the bench for the final, wasn't he? Mm. And he mentioned that a day or two before the final, in Barcelona, Sir Alex Ferguson came up to him and said, "I've got two spots on the bench, and if you want one of them, you have to beat me in a frame of snooker." And Jonathan Greening said, "All right." And they had a snooker table in the hotel, and they played. And Alex Ferguson beat him.
Yeah.
And apparently, he said to him, "Sorry about that, son, but I've got a table in my house, you know." And but then he put him on the bench anyway.
It was marginal gains.
Yeah. He just fancied the game of snooker.
That's very topical as well from you, Luke, after the big Ronnie O'Sullivan win.
Exactly, which I enjoyed. And I was at the Crucible earlier in the tournament as well.
Of course you were. Big snigger lad.
I'd love to do a snooker show.
Holding the cues.
Let's do a snooker show.
Hit me up.
Should we just crack on with that now?
Gateshead also went up as well. Mike Williamson, the manager, the Heed.
Mikey Williamson. Still find him. He's doing a good job.
He's doing a cracking job, yeah. They're up. Yeah. They're up. What if they go up again? Then they'll be in the bloody league, mate.
Oh my God.
Could see them getting all the way up to about League One, and then big Stevie Bruce taking over.
that'll be nice. That's what people dream of, isn't it?
Exactly. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, so nice to hear about that. Thanks, yeah. Adam. And don't forget, guys, tomorrow it's Pep Talks. So email us in show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. I think Jules said yesterday, and we'll help you with your dilemmas.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
guaranteed.
That's exactly what that little segment
we'll listen to them.
Is necessarily all about. But, you know, we do our best. Let's stick with some of these clubs that have had hard times or are coming up and possibly in positive light. We want to talk about something that's happy for a change, I guess, in this context. It is that Bury FC are back in business. Baby, the Bury Supporters Society have bought the assets to take the club out of administration, and that includes Gig Lane. So it looks as though they are going to be back in their home again. It may take a bit of time for you know, fans to actually be able to go and watch football at Gig Lane. But it's so exciting that they've managed to do this together, because there's been, it seems like there's been quite a considered approach. It was obviously a difficult and long process. They're using the 51-49 ownership model, which you guys might think of as being something that happens in the Bundesliga. That's the kind of German approach to keep ownership of a football club in the hands of the fans. So 51% here is owned by the Supporters Society and 49% by Bury fans.
What an achievement, though.
Oh, my God.
I can't work the stat calendar properly. I couldn't work the train timetables this morning.
He really can't.
and to be able to sort of do that and put it back in the hands of fans is just incredible stuff.
It's an interesting situation, because as far as I understand, there's a bit of a an impasse between two groups of fans, right?
Yeah.
Some fans went on to try and form a Phoenix club, which is what sadly needs to happen a lot more often than we'd hope these days. And some stuck it out with the original Bury. And I've read an article about it where they were saying that, you know, there's a situation now where they've got a club with a stadium but no squad, and a squad with no stadium. And they just need to find a way of blending them together. But there's a little bit of ill feeling around how they should best move forward. So I hope they sort that out. What's ultimately really the most important thing, though, is that people of that community get a football club to support again, because the stories you always hear and the ones that are the most affecting are the ones, you know, the 80-year-old man who's been going for, you know, every other week for however many years with his son and his grandson. I know they can't do that. And the stories that you hear as well are things like, you know, we need to get the stadium ready. So who's going to turn up? Well, all these volunteers are going to turn up and clean it up, because it's not been used for however many years and it needs to be cleaned up and painted again and everything needs to be done. It's always community people doing that. These rapacious people who run these football clubs into the ground don't stick around long enough to do that. So that all needs to be done as well. And it currently is being done. It's an amazing thing. I know they bought the stadium back in February, didn't they? So yeah. Hopefully we can see them back in playing football as soon as possible, really.
It's such a good point, Nick, actually, because Bury, for me, represents such a moment in time. It was about a year before, or 6 months or so before the start of the pandemic, wasn't it? And I just so vividly remember there was this particular fan.
It was 2019.
Called Jean. And she had this Forever Bury t-shirt. And it's exactly what you're talking about. She'd rock up. She was like 73, mid-70s. Yeah. She'd always go down there. And then one day she turns up. And of course, you know, people are filming it and trying to make stories about it in the sense of like trying to communicate with the rest of the world what's happening to this football club.
Yeah.
I just remember it being so heartbreaking, her little face. Like,
It really damages the entire community as well.
Yes.
I mean, sorry to make this all about Portsmouth again, but I remember being, as a Portsmouth fan, actually being pretty embarrassed that people like the St John's Ambulance weren't being paid as creditors, because Portsmouth had run out of money because it had been so mismanaged. So and there was a lot of community businesses who were providing services to the club that never saw their money.
Yeah.
And I don't know the specific details, but I promise you a couple of those businesses would have gone out of business because of that, because they wouldn't have received the money. So it does really affect everything.
That's what it means about being part of the ecosystem, doesn't it? And especially in small communities like Bury, that's why it's so significant.
So it's a really important first step, for sure.
Really is. Sticking with entertaining owners, that's not really a segue. Cawley Town, his new co-chairman, Preston Johnson, has bought fans £1,000 worth of drinks in a local pub after being caught calling the game soccer. The man is American. We should probably make this clear. And he had said that he would put that money down if he said soccer accidentally. He told the fans that in a Discord chat. And he did. So he paid up.
Good on him.
Did he do it in cash or NFTs or crypto or that kind of...
He did it in pints, mate.
Do you often have £1,000 cash on your hip, do you, mate?
Not really,
Is that where people look at you and go, he's got a Diamante steering wheel cover, he's definitely got some cash on their hip. He definitely deals in cash.
I mean, I just like a man. I like a football club owner who does what he says he's going to do.
Yeah, right? I think that's really important. And also, you know, one of the highlights of the season, when we're speaking of those types of things, is the Crawley Town manager at the time, John Yems, when he was asked how the game was. Absolute shit. we've used it as a jingle.
So good. Are we on air? Agent Charles is also getting involved in the old administrative advice columns. He says that the new independent regulator recommended by Tracy Crouch's fan review should ask the first question of prospective owners: do you want to own a football club? If the answer is yes, then I'm afraid they need to be shown the door, because the chances are they're either mad or bad. They're either fit nor proper.
It's hard not to agree with that, to be honest.
It's like the whole Prime Minister thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you want to be Prime Minister, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't really get us anywhere in terms of...
No, it really doesn't. No, it's not really a solution, is it?
Yeah. No one wants to do it. Okay, right. And all the ones that do want to do it, we've told them that if they do want to do it, that rules them out. That leaves no one, doesn't it? It literally leaves no one.
Tonight, Wolfsburg, Villarreal go up against Liverpool in the second leg of their Champions League semi-final, and Bournemouth play Nottingham Forest, as we mentioned earlier. A massive, massive game in the context of who is likely to go up into the Premier League next season. Are we going to have to sit through another 90 minutes in the Villarreal game of disrespect?
If they have any respect for us as viewers, Liverpool will score a goal very early and that'll be done. And then we can go
move
and watch Bournemouth
game
versus Forest, because that'll be an absolute barn burner. Yeah. Something that we should very much look forward to. I'll probably do a Brassel and double screen it.
Your broadband can withstand that.
No, I have a television as well.
Oh, yeah. How's that getting broadcast then?
I don't know. It's got a box. Right. Sky box. Does that come through the broadband?
Could be.
No, the new version of that comes through the broadband.
Okay, right.
Have you got the new version?
I don't know. This is like being quizzed by my parents about what I've been up to.
Explaining my granite program of VCR.
I don't need to know how the tech stuff works.
And what time?
When it breaks down, you will.
I'll just
call
be
ringing old Donny Donaldson.
Yeah.
What time did you get back home last night, Luke Moore?
From what?
More to the point. Just playing your parents.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah. No, I was just saying, I didn't go anywhere last night. My life was that interesting.
Very suspicious about what I've been spying on.
All I would say, though, is that Sky Sports are the place, you know, that makes the magic happen, you know, and according to our sponsors.
Yeah, makes the magic happen. Yeah, you made that up.
What's the tagline?
I don't know. Sky Go, take a look at this.
Yeah. Sky Go, we'll be sponsored by them and we'll be very grateful for that, but they still don't give us any free shit.
Jürgen Klopp, though, says that Liverpool are going to be ready to suffer. So I guess... He is pissed off as well about not being able to watch the Bournemouth-Nottingham Forest game.
And, mate, I'm not sure that's what he meant, but maybe he did. Imagine if he's got that on a little tablet while all the game's happening.
It's like a Bernie Adler.
I like their little move from kickoff. Yeah. Adopt that.
I also read that Liverpool are already sustaining the best quadruple challenge in English football history, because in terms of how late in the season they've maintained it.
Okay.
So Chelsea had it, 2006-07, Chelsea had it till the 1st of May, where they could technically still do it. And now obviously we're sat here on the 3rd of May and Liverpool are still in the hat. So, I mean, in many ways, I'm sure it won't be the real quiz, but in many ways they are making history already.
Well done for saying English as well, so we don't get any angry Celtic fans.
Oh no, you still get, my experience, you still get angry Scottish fans, whatever happens.
But I should also say men's football.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Please do that. Please do add that caveat by all means.
All right then, that's it then. Get to watch your football. I don't know, do people normally, I sometimes listen to this right before the football starts, but I guess people could be doing it with their lunch or in their...
Get to football.
Get on out to football. But actually before that, no, because you've got to line up front as well. Because our weekly women's football show is out, or will be out shortly. Yeah. It's a big one. The WSL title will be decided this weekend. Flo, Rachel and Chloe will be back to give you the lowdown on the WSL's climax, as well as looking back over a great championship season for Chloe's Crystal Palace and probably the greatest last-minute winner the league has ever
seen.
Oh,
that was amazing. Crazy.
Find that one later on Football Ramble Presents. All right then, thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit." And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.